40 World Cup greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to a special edition of the Sunny Side of Sports, focusing on Friday's 2018 World Cup draw in Moscow, Russia.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Let's stand up for the drama. Let's stand up for the excitement. Let's stand up for the anticipation. Let's stand up for the glittering ceremony of the 2018 World Cup draw in Moscow, Russia. Football's premier event is more than 6 months away, but the 32 teams now know their first-round groupings after Friday's festive draw in the Russian capital. I'm joined once again on the show by Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty World Cup greetings, Andrew.
Sporty World Cup greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you, and a good way to end the week with this exciting World Cup draw.
Exciting indeed. Andrew, let's go right to the groupings for our many VOA football fans. Group A, host Russia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Uruguay.
Then in Group B, we have Portugal, Spain, Morocco, and Iran.
Group C, France, the 1998 World Cup champion, Australia, Peru, and Denmark.
In Group D, we have Argentina, Iceland, Croatia, and Nigeria.
Group E, Brazil, Switzerland, Costa Rica, and Serbia.
Group F has Germany, Mexico, Sweden, and South Korea.
Group G, Belgium, Panama, Tunisia, and England.
And rounding out the field in Group H, we have Poland, Senegal, Colombia, and Japan.
Now, taking a look at those eight groups, Andrew, does anyone in particular stand out as that proverbial group of death?
Well, that's the interesting thing, Sonny, is that a lot of the talk on social media is that there really isn't one group that a lot of people are pointing to saying this is the group of death. As we watched the draw, certainly Group B after Portugal and Spain were called, people were talking a lot about that matchup, saying that could be the group of death. But then you have Morocco and Iran being drawn into that group, not exactly powerhouses. You have Group D with teams like Argentina, but then you also have Croatia. So a lot of fans talking about maybe Nigeria being able to get out of that group. And then Group F also being talked about with Germany and Mexico, but then again, Sweden and South Korea. So it really is a mix of all different teams. One thing that I've seen consistently, though, a lot of people talking about Group A, calling it the group of life between Russia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Uruguay. That is looking to be the easiest of the groups, and people are wondering who's going to come out of that. Perhaps host Russia, even though they're not ranked very highly. Maybe Egypt for their first World Cup in about almost 30 years. Maybe they might be able to make it out of the group stage. So a lot of analysis so far on social media.
And our VOA football fans can mark their calendars, because in the opening match of the 2018 World Cup, Russia will host Saudi Arabia in Moscow. The Saudis earlier this week signed a new head coach, Andrew, Juan Antonio Pizzi. He used to be in charge of Chile earlier this year, so he's going to have his hands full with that partisan Russian crowd in the opening match.
It's going to be interesting. And actually, there's a lot of social media talk about the Group N, as in not in the tournament, Netherlands, Italy, USA, and Chile. Some people are calling that the real group of death, in the sense that they will not be participating in the World Cup. But certainly Chile, one of the names that's going to be missed. But at least he'll be coaching there in perhaps the easiest group of the World Cup draw.
during Friday's World Cup draw. 8 draw assistants helped out at the ceremony. They represented host Russia and 7 previous World Cup champion countries. Laurent Blanc of France, England goalkeeper Gordon Banks, Cafu of Brazil, Italy's Fabio Cannavaro, Uruguay's Diego Forlan, Spain's Carlos Puyol, Argentine legend Diego Maradona, and Nikita Simonian of Russia. And Cannavaro, the Italian, he was asked at the draw ceremony who he thinks are the favorites at the 2018 World Cup.
Well, of course, the German team, the Spanish team, the Brazilian team, but I think it's a good time for Messi to do something new, even more because it's the last chance for him.
We heard Fabio Cannavaro say, good time for Messi, Andrew. Messi, of course, Lionel Messi, the superstar from Argentina. He's never won that World Cup trophy. What do you think of his chances of lifting the trophy in 2018?
Well, a lot of people are talking about that Group D as maybe one of the semi-groups of death, but I think a lot of that comes from the fact that Argentina is in that group. And if you look at actually the rankings for the other teams in Group D, Iceland, a dangerous team that made a run at the Euro Cup, they're only ranked 22 in the world. Croatia is 17, and the Super Eagles in Nigeria are 50 in the world. So Argentina, it looks like they have a pretty clear shot to get out of the group stage. Where they go from there remains to be seen, but they are definitely the top team in Group D. I know there are a lot of fans on social media pulling for Lionel Messi. They really want him to get this chief achievement, this kind of crowning accomplishment on what has been one of the greatest careers in soccer, and they think he could do it with this favorable draw.
The Super Eagles of Nigeria will be making their 6th World Cup appearance, the most of the 5 African representatives. And they also beat Argentina recently in a friendly warm-up match, Andrew. I would think that has to help their confidence once they get to Russia in 2018.
I think so. You know, it's funny that of the 4 previous times they've been in the group stage, or 5 of the previous times, 4 of them have been against Argentina, and they've lost to Argentina in the group stage for those times. So I think that win in the friendly could help them, certainly. I think that they don't have a great record against Argentina in the group stage. There's a lot of jokes on social media that Nigerians shouldn't have to have a visa to go to Argentina anymore because they can just go right in because they've played each other so many times and Argentina's won so many times. But I think, you know, as we've seen in many times in not just the World Cup, in sports generally, just because you haven't won those past matches or in the past competitions doesn't mean that you can't win this time. So I think that could be a confidence booster for them. And I think they're hoping to finally get that win on the World Cup stage against their perennial foe, Argentina.
Andrew, let's go back to Moscow now. And another one of those draw assistants, Gordon Banks from England. He would not give a specific favorite for the 2018 World Cup, but he's basically said to be the best, you have to beat the best.
To be honest, if you're going to win the World Cup, it doesn't matter who comes out of that the draw, because you've got to get out there and you've got to play your best you can, play as a team.
And talking about the draw, Andrew, there was a little concern on social media that didn't get underway quite as scheduled.
Yes, a lot of talk about just how drawn out this was, although I will say that once they actually started calling the groups, they actually did it really quickly. First, we had FIFA chief Gianni Infantino giving a Q&A with Russian President Vladimir Putin, which actually made a lot of headlines on social media because Infantino said that global soccer and FIFA are clean. He talked about doping. That got a lot of fans talking and kind of dubious about some of those claims. And then a traditional Russian dance performance, and fans who tuned in right at the start of this whole ceremony were wondering, okay, when are they going to make the draw? We're waiting, we're anticipating, we're really anxious to see this. So fans not quite happy that it wasn't quick, but once it did get underway, it was pretty fast and gave a lot of fans a lot to talk about.
Ahead of the draw, Andrew, FIFA's director of competitions, Chris Unger, spoke with the media, and he talked about the pots.
We have all the teams assigned to the pots according to their ranking. So the top seven teams, along with the host, the traditional host, in pot one, the next eight best teams, according to the world ranking, in pot two, and then so on, the lowest ranked teams in pot four.
Chris Unger, FIFA's director of competitions. Ahead of the draw, Andrew, also speculation that this draw might be rigged or fixed, certain favorable groups, but Chris Unger says that just isn't the case.
I've been involved now in the last three draws in Brazil and in South Africa as well, and that's a big story. There's no truth to that, and in fact, be happy to invite you up to see that there's really, they're all the same. They don't feel any different. They don't look any different, with the exception of the red ball, but that's there for a purpose. And so it is really entirely random, entirely by chance, how the groups get formed at the end.
Entirely random, entirely by chance. What's your sense, Andrew, after looking at the eight groups from Moscow?
I think fans would agree with that because, as we said, there is no real group of death. Fans were actually quite surprised that there wasn't one group that emerged above all the others that kind of lumped together the best teams or some of the best teams. So I haven't heard too much on social media about anything being rigged. And certainly I think the main focus now is on who these matchups are going to be, who might get through some of these groups, and perhaps some surprising teams that we see get through that we wouldn't expect because everything is spread out and there isn't that focus on one or two particular groups.
And I think two teams that will probably have some backing making their World Cup debuts, Andrew, Iceland in Group D, the smallest, I think, of the 32 World Cup qualifiers, and Panama making its World Cup debut in Group G. Any thoughts on the Panamanians and the Icelanders?
Yeah, well, a little bit of a tough road for Panama. They're 56 in the world. They'll have to go against Belgium, who's number 5. England is 15, and Tunisia is 27. So they're all quite highly ranked, at least higher than Panama. They're the odd ones out in that group. Iceland's going to be very interesting because that Group D, of course, Argentina is at the top. But then you have Croatia's number 17 in the world. Iceland's 22, so they're not too far behind them. And then the Super Eagles ranked 50. But as we said at the Euro Cup, Iceland became kind of the favorites. They went on to the quarterfinal. They beat England. They got out of the group stage to the quarterfinal before they lost to France. And they became kind of this rallying team around the world, an underdog that a lot of people were rooting for. I know that when the USA was not able to make the World Cup, a lot of U.S. fans I saw on social media said they were going to switch their allegiance to Iceland because it's the underdog that they want to root for. So I think that they'll have a lot of support behind them, and I think that they have a pretty decent shot of making it out of the group stage.
In terms of support, Andrew, just ahead on the show, we're going to talk about ticket sales at the 2018 World Cup. So please keep on the sunny side.
So keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help you every day. It will brighten all the way if you keep on the sunny side of life.
Time in Africa offers splendid sounds from the continent that all humanity calls home. From the classics of yesteryear to the hot tracks of the moment. I offer you what you need. Free ear therapy and mind massage. Join me, I'm Heather Maxwell, for Music Time in Africa, every Saturday and Sunday at 0900, 2000, and 2100 UTC.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Our Voice of America listeners can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. World football's governing body, FIFA, says it's very happy with ticket sales for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. The head of FIFA ticketing is Falk Eller.
We have closed the first sales phase earlier this week. We have allocated close to 750,000 tickets to fans coming from Russia and from international countries. We are extremely happy with the outcome. We are happy with the demand we've seen. We are happy with the number of tickets we were able to allocate. And of course, we are also happy that the operation went quite well. No technical glitches, no problems. So we are very pleased.
FIFA's head of ticketing, Falk Eller, says the second phase of World Cup ticketing will begin next week.
Second sales phase starts after the final draw, so then fans will know who is playing where. On 5th of December at Moscow noon, fans will have a chance to submit their application again in a random selection draw period. So fans have enough time to make up their mind to submit the application, which we need to receive by the 31st of January.
And what about the breakdown in terms of fans for these World Cup tickets? Well, Falk Eller had this to say.
It's a very interesting mix of fans from all over the world. Of course, Russian fans are the biggest population, so we have the highest number of fans coming from Russia. Still, the USA being second in the race of fans who successfully request the tickets. And then we have some of the usual suspects following, like Brazil, Germany, and Mexico.
Andrew, we heard Falk Eller, FIFA's head of ticketing, say American fans second when it comes to buying World Cup tickets for Russia 2018. Does that surprise you, considering the USA didn't qualify for Russia 2018?
It does surprise me a little bit because, like you said, the U.S. didn't qualify. I wonder how many of those tickets might have been purchased before the USA was out of the World Cup, people thinking that they would get to see the USA play and now will not. But soccer, even though it is not one of the major sports here in the U.S., it does get a lot of attention from fans. Case in point, looking at some stats from Twitter, they said of the three top non-qualifying countries conversing and talking about the World Cup on Twitter, the USA is number one, followed by Venezuela, and then number three is Canada. So there is a lot of interest in this in the US. It's been trending in the US on social media all day. But it is surprising, too, not just from a sports aspect, but from a kind of a geopolitical aspect. There are very tense relations right now between the US and Russia. So maybe not the best time for Americans to travel over to Russia. So a bit of a surprise to see that so many tickets are being bought to travel over there versus, say, when it was in Brazil, which maybe is a little easier to travel to for Americans. But I think that the interest maybe supersedes even the politics, and people just want to see these great matchups. And a lot of talk, even though the U.S. isn't in the World Cup, about some of these great group matchups that are going to happen, some of the teams that could get out of those groups and could make a run at it. And particularly, I see a lot of people talking about that Portugal-Spain matchup. That's a big one, not just in the U.S., but around the world, people saying that those two powerhouses in the same group, that's got a lot of people talking.
Andrew, for our Voice of America listeners just tuning in, the draw was held Friday at the State Kremlin Palace in Moscow for the 2018 World Cup football tournament. Let's run down the groupings once again, Andrew, for our VOA listeners. Group A has host Russia, Saudi Arabia, the Pharaohs of Egypt, and Uruguay.
Group B has Portugal, Spain, Morocco, and Iran.
Group C, France, Australia, Peru, and Denmark.
In Group D, we have Argentina, Iceland, Croatia, and the Super Eagles of Nigeria.
Group E has Brazil, the most successful of all the teams, 5 World Cup trophies to their credit, Switzerland, Costa Rica, and Serbia.
Group F features Germany, Mexico, Sweden, and South Korea.
Group G has Belgium, Panama, Tunisia, and England.
And finally, in Group H, we have Poland, Senegal, Colombia, and Japan.
Senegal making their first appearance at the World Cup, Andrew, since 2002, when they had a surprising run in Japan and South Korea. They made it to the quarterfinals. What do you think of Senegal's chances in Group H?
I'd say it's one of the easier groups. All of these groups seem fairly equitable. Certainly Group B, as we talked about with Portugal and Spain leading that group, that's a big matchup between those two teams. But I think Senegal is as a shot as good as any other team in that group. You have Poland, which is ranked 7 in the world. Colombia is 13. Senegal is 23 in the world. And then Japan trailing at number 55 in the rankings. So they've got as good a chance as any of those teams to get out of the group and make a run at it.
Germany will be defending its title in Russia, the Germans in Group F. What do you think of Germany's chances? It looks like a pretty good group for the Germans.
Yeah, the Mexican fans, I don't think, were too happy to be in the group with Germany. But Mexico, hopefully they'll be able to do something in that group. At least their fans are hoping so. They're at number 16 in the world, Sweden at 18, so very close. And trailing very far behind is South Korea at 59. But Germany at the top of that group, number 1, they would love to defend that World Cup title. I think that they will have no problem getting out of the group stage and into the play after that. But we'll see what they do after that and who they might face. And that's actually one of the fun things we're seeing on social media. People already penciling in their brackets about who they think is going to go where and get out of the group stage. One that I'm looking at just now on my computer screen here has Germany going into the semifinal before losing to Argentina. And then this person has Argentina and Brazil in the final. Of course, I believe this person is from Brazil, if I'm judging the Portuguese that I'm seeing here. So take that with a grain of salt. But that's part of the fun of the next 7 or 8 months, that we're going to see a lot of people penciling in their teams, wondering who's going to do well, who's going to go where, and how these matchups are going to pan out.
And once again, the opening match of the 2018 World Cup will take place on June 14th, 2018. Russia will host Saudi Arabia in the opening match, and that game will take place in Moscow's Luzhniki Stadium. Interesting, that stadium will host 7 matches during the 2018 World Cup, including the final and opening match. The stadium has undergone extensive reconstruction, Andrew, in recent years, and it now has a capacity of 81,000 seats. Officials in Moscow said the stadium will be ready for the opening match on June 14th. And I think these stadiums now, we look forward to them being filled for the World Cup.
Yeah, one social media post I saw had a fan saying, okay, time to Google where these cities are, where they're going to be playing to figure out where these stadiums are. But Gianni Infantino actually talked about this, saying that in the West, there's sometimes they paint with a dark paint everything that comes from the East, referring to Russia and the Arab world, referring to the 2018 World Cup in Russia and then 2022 in Qatar. He's saying that despite those aspersions that are being cast, everything will be ready in time and it's going to go off without a hitch.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter, thanks for helping out with this World Cup draw show, Andrew.
My pleasure. It was a blast, Sonny. Thank you so much.
And that wraps up the December 1st, 2018 World Cup draw edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Jonah Cummings. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a good weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Robert Mugabe resigned the presidency of Zimbabwe last week after Parliament initiated impeachment proceedings against him, ending his oppressive 37-year rule and opening the country to what U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson called an extraordinary opportunity to set itself on a new path. Mugabe was elected as Zimbabwe's first prime minister in 1980 and became president in 1987 after changes to the constitution created an executive presidency. He had remained in power ever since. During his rule, the United States condemned his government's increasing assault on human rights and the rule of law, and joined much of the world in calling for the government of Zimbabwe to embrace a peaceful democratic evolution. In his place, former Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa was sworn in, promising the beginning of a new unfolding democracy. With the resignation of Robert Mugabe, today marks a historic moment for Zimbabwe, said Secretary Tillerson in a statement. We congratulate all Zimbabweans who raised their voices and stated peacefully and clearly that the time for change was overdue. The United States looks forward to and hopes for free and fair elections, said State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert.
The people of Zimbabwe have firmly voiced their desire for a new era to bring an end to Zimbabwe's isolation and allow the country to rejoin the international community. The future of Zimbabwe, though, has to be determined by the people of that country.
Secretary Tillerson also said, "We urge Zimbabwe's leaders to implement much-needed political and economic reforms for a more stable and promising future for the Zimbabwean people. We will continue to support the people of Zimbabwe as these reforms move forward." U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe Harry Thomas noted future U.S. engagement with Zimbabwe and President Mnangagwa will depend on those actions. This is a new day. This is a new opportunity for him and his cabinet to live up to the wonderful 2013 Zimbabwean Constitution. And that is what we will tell them. It is your constitution. It is democratic. It is something you endorsed when you were Minister of Justice and later as Vice President. This is for your people. So live up to it, and the United States will find a way to partner. The United States is the largest provider of development and humanitarian assistance to the people of Zimbabwe, providing $253 million last year. The United States, said Secretary Tillerson, strongly supports a peaceful, democratic, and prosperous Zimbabwe.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.